So happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Today is Agriculture Day in Wisconsin and across the nation. It's a time to celebrate the great things that agriculture does for us here in this state and elsewhere, and also to take a look at the challenges it faces. And we're going to do all of that today with Rod Nelsenstuen, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. He joins us by phone today. And if you have some questions or comments, we'd welcome them as we move along today. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, and anywhere else, toll free at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll get you on the air. Rod Nelsenstuen, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Very good to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure. First, maybe you could give us the sort of the state of agriculture in Wisconsin today.
Well, in a few brief sentences, Larry, it's a good picture, long-term, short-term. We've had tightening of cost-price squeezes for farmers with lower milk prices for our dairy farmers and very high energy costs, and that always puts farmers in a vice because farming is both capital and energy intensive. I think there's broad agreement in the ag community that the last 4 years have been some of the best for moving forward in agriculture, both at the producer level and at the state policies that we've been able to put in place here, with strong support from the governor and very good bipartisan support in the legislature. So Wisconsin is blessed by something that many of our neighbor states aren't, and that's that we have a very diverse ag base. We're known as the dairy state, but we're number 8 in corn. We're far and away number 1 in cranberries. We're a top vegetable-producing state, and on and on and on. And what that means is we have a diversified ag portfolio, and so we don't rise and fall with overall with any one commodity price, which is good for rural communities and good for the state.
Yeah. And what is, I think, the economic impact of agriculture, about $20 billion a year?
Well, no, that's just dairy. It's $51 billion for the food and ag industry in Wisconsin, and $20.6 billion for dairy. So if you think of it on a more individual level, every time you go past one of those black and white friends on Route 2, she's worth about $17,000 in economic impact when the money is created locally, not only for the farmer, but for the implement dealer, the veterinarian, the Main Street business, the cheese marketer, et cetera. So if you look at it, that industry by itself, our dairy industry, means $39,000 a minute, every minute, every hour, every day of the year, to this state. And that's why, you know, the Governor Doyle and the legislature has recognized that you can't think of ag as something that's just there. It's the farm, our grandpa's farm. It's a centerpiece of our economy. And you know, we have over 14,000 dairy farms, over 70,000 other kinds of farms in the state. We couldn't attract any other industry, high tech or low tech, that would be spread across the entire state that would have the kind of economic impact and education supporting and community supporting activity that we have in agriculture. That's one of the main reasons that we celebrate this day and call attention to it.
And, you know, you mentioned dairy, and it looks like for the first time in a long time, our dairy cow herd numbers are up. It's 7,000 cows or so?
Our herd numbers are up, and our milk production is as well, and our per-cow averages are as well, although Wisconsin needs to do better in that on the per-cow number. But, you know, as a state, we've been working very hard for a number of years in ensuring that Wisconsin is a competitive dairy state. We know about California and the West Coast and Idaho and now New Mexico, believe it or not, with larger, newer farms and cheese plants. We've done a pretty good job in the last few years of addressing becoming competitive. We've got a lot of things that we need to do, but the first thing that we've tried to do as a state is try to make the business climate for farmers in agriculture as good as it can be. We want Wisconsin to be the best place in the world, not just in the country, to produce milk. And we're now seeing that isn't just a politician's rhetoric. We're getting incredible number of requests and information from and questions from all over the country about farmers who want to move here, dairy farmers, and including some from Europe. And at World Dairy Expo at our booth there this fall, the number one question we had was from out-of-state dairy farmers, young farmers, saying, how could we move to Wisconsin? You guys have got the best thing going for dairy.
Well, that's great. Back in December, the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance identified three trends that are kind of emerging as significant to the future of agriculture in Wisconsin. And those trends were the internet, renewable energy, and land use. And I guess more than a third of our state's farmers are now using the internet for farm activities.
Well, they are, and that's only going to increase, both as a generational thing when old guys like me fade out, but as young farmers who are used to using it for the computer from first grade use it. But it is in all businesses, the internet and the computer are fantastic tools that provide ready access to a lot of information, and they also provide farmers with opportunities to both shop and sell in ways that they didn't have before. So, and probably even more importantly, the ability to really utilize a spreadsheet and track expenses, lock in prices in future markets in grain and dairy and other products that help farmers in a very tough and challenging and changing environment to stay competitive, because they've got to squeeze every nickel, and the computer helps them do that. So internet is a help.
And as we take a look at the second item, renewable energy, that could be a boon for farmers. If you think about ethanol is a hot prospect right now, especially we got $3 a gallon or thereabouts.
Well, absolutely. The whole renewable fuels and bio development, and my belief, Larry, is will have a bigger impact than anything on rural Wisconsin than anything that we've seen since rural electrification.
Wow.
That's a big statement, and time will only tell whether I'm right on that. But the reason I say that is because as a state, we are embracing it, both from the individual consumer level on through the governor and the legislature, the reality that we don't produce a barrel of oil in this state. But we do, because of our diverse ag base, have an amazing opportunity to produce not only ethanol from corn, but biodiesel from soybeans and fuel and ethanol from cellulosic sources, including our number one paper industry in the country. And that's really why, you know, the governor asked this agency and a number of others to work together 3 years ago to to study intensively what our comparative advantages and disadvantages, strengths and weaknesses are as a state as we move into this new economy. And bottom line on that was the recommendations of that committee were to build on our strengths, which are our agriculture and our forestry industry, because bio only comes from farm fields or forests.
Right.
And number three, the great research muscle of the UW system, which is second to none in biosciences, and to focus on working with farmers, working with industry, to develop this in sustainable ways that we can compete and get more than our share of the new market that's rapidly coming. And we're looking now, everybody's seeing the ethanol plants, which are great, but we'll have more biodiesel plants open this year than ethanol, And not long behind that, a lot of other things that are produced from biological sources.
Yeah. Well, you wonder, you know, I wondered about whether or not we've got corn for feed and corn for fuel. Can we support both of those?
Well, that's a major question that's being discussed a lot. It's a complex one, but in simple terms, a couple facts that we all need to remember. One is over 98% of the corn that we grow in this country goes to animal feed, not human consumption, which isn't the case on a global basis, where corn isn't the mainstay. The second thing, though, is when there's greater demand for any product, and the price goes up, and that's what we're seeing now with ethanol coming on board rapidly and growing rapidly. That market will adjust. There's a huge response and a large number of communities and businesses and farmers that want to build renewable energy plants, and the state is very much in favor of that because it not only helps us with our fuel costs. You know, Wisconsin spends $15.5 billion a year on fuel, and 88 cents of every one of those bucks when you're buying petroleum at the pump goes out of the state and out of our economy. If it's spent on ethanol, it's almost the reverse of that. And that money stays in Wisconsin. It goes into plants that are grossing between $60 and $100 million that are now located, that weren't 3 years ago, located in rural communities, taking that, employing people at $20 an hour when you include benefits, and circulating through our economy. That's a huge change and opportunity for the state. The challenges of that rapid growth are it does make the livestock industry need to adjust, and we're in the process of doing that. And also the other change is the energy business is the land of giants. I mean,
yeah.
ExxonMobil has gross revenues that exceed the country of Indonesia's, which is the fourth most populous country in the world and an OPEC member. And so we're playing with the big boys when we're in the energy game. And so as farmers and others invest in these, they also are needing to look forward and say, when the price falls, this is a volatile market, am I structured in a way that I can withstand low prices or the kind of competitive pressures that giants of this kind can put on us? And those are real business questions that we need to address as well.
Well, let's take some calls. Slattery and Maribel will give you a chance now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to address 3 points. In the previous administration, there was an attempt in the legislature to get a requirement that service stations sell a blended ethanol product, E10, I guess. The administration failed to get that through. It is important for us as farmers, and I farm, to have ethanol sold in the state, in neighboring states. For example, in Iowa, it's been sold since the early 70s, and it's been in, there's a state subsidy for it, and it's one of the most popular gasolines in the state. Second point is the nuisance suit that the previous attorney general backed against a farmer for cranberries. We are finding that, given the gentrification that is going on in the countryside, increasingly difficult with urban-minded neighbors living in rural areas to farm with a consciousness of stewardship. And I can give you other examples of attempting to put up wind turbine farms on our farms, that there is just all sorts of irrational, spurious logic that is used in preventing farmers from going ahead and providing other energy. And my last point is I would like to see this present administration as well as this legislature provide more subsidy for promoting both biodiesel and ethanol. And I thank you.
Thanks very much. And we'll get Secretary Nelson Stewart's answers in just a second. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at agriculture on this Agriculture Day in Wisconsin and the nation with Rod Nelson Stewart, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And Slattery had some interesting points to raise here regarding agriculture, Rod, and quite a few good points there.
Well, he did. And let me try to address them and try to be crisp about it. His first question was about a blend requirement for ethanol so that Wisconsin consumers can have access to a locally produced fuel. And the governor was last session and is now strongly in support of that, and we will see a similar bill come into the legislature. As you may recall, that bill was defeated in the state Senate last session. The majority there has changed. I expect the complexion of the Senate has changed, and that may produce a different result. And as the caller indicated, we had Minnesota and Iowa have similar legislation that's very popular, broadly supported. The ethanol industry in Minnesota, I believe, is about a $1.5 billion contributor to their economy now because they've been aggressive in the way he mentioned. His second question related to the cranberry suit that has gotten so much attention over the years, a very contentious fight between a cranberry farmer and neighbors in northern Wisconsin. I don't have all the details of that to get into, which could be a day-long discussion in itself. But if you look at the basics of the question, as he correctly raised it, we're looking at competing land uses here. And one of the realities of a growing population and the fact that many people are buying second homes up north or lakefront or putting McMansions out in the middle of farm 40s produces conflict between farm uses that have been traditional there and a more suburban lifestyle. And Larry, as you know, because we've talked about it on a couple occasions, we've been working hard here because there's interest all over the state of doing a better job with protecting our farmland and our forest land. Wisconsin is losing 30,000 acres of farmland every single year. We're losing more farmland than any Midwestern state right now. And if we're going to keep that $51 billion ag industry and that $20 billion paper industry, you have to have the ground that needed to produce those products. But we have enough ground for the growth that we're having and for houses and the factories and the farms if we do a better job of working together locally to put them where they need to be. And that's what a committee that I appointed 2 years ago and worked for over a year came out, a broad-based committee of in recommending. And so you're going to see a lot of discussion. In fact, three big workshops held 3 weeks ago in Wisconsin drew over 600 people, standing room only, from 57 counties, very interested in this. And so fundamentally, nuisance and conflict is a result of not having the houses where they need to be and the farms where they need to be. And that's why also a couple of years ago we worked for 2 years to pass a livestock siting law so that there were clear rules about if you were going to expand a major livestock or dairy operation, how can you do that that's neighbor-friendly, but how can you do it in a way that is practical for farmers and local government? And we got that passed, and Wisconsin has the best law in the country right now because of that. So those are the first two answers. I guess, again, I would agree. His third question was, how about more biodiesel and renewable energy promotion? And, again, the governor in this budget, as I mentioned earlier, has taken – this is one of the major priorities in this state budget – is put $30 million investment into expanding renewable energy and working with local government – or with local businesses and farmers. Part of that will be to get more E85 pumps and renewable energy pumps available. If we're going to produce the fuel, it's got to be available to consumers. And so you're going to be seeing a lot of steps in the next few months on this. And, in fact, I expect you'll see a major announcement from Governor Doyle on this next week.
All right. Thanks again for calling, Slattery. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And let's go to Clyde in Cedarburg next. Hi, Clyde.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call, taking the call.
Sure.
Thank you, Secretary Nelson, for speaking out about the importance of farms to Wisconsin's long-term and sustainable economy.
You're very welcome.
And also for speaking out about the importance of farms for protecting our environment, for the protection of our soil and water conservation methods, and how important they are to that, and providing habitat for wildlife and so forth. I want to point out a contradiction mm-hmm. that exists in state policy between those two things, between the maintenance and protection of and continuation of the family farm and of farming basically as a whole in Wisconsin. Contradiction between that and the protection of soil and water conservation. And the use value law provides an excellent means of protecting the continuation of agriculture and of the family farm by requiring that land use for farming is assessed and taxed, classified for its highest and best use as agricultural land. That's been extremely important in slowing the loss of family farms. However, there's one problem in that voluntary practice, conservation practices by Wisconsin farmers is discouraged by a glitch in the law or in the way that it's implemented, in that if and when farmers, because of personal circumstances, because of preferences, or because of their commitment to protecting the environment, if they undertake certain practices, such as protecting wetlands, restoring wetlands, or establishing riparian buffers, if those are done voluntarily, the tax impact on their land can be outrageous, especially if they're in the crosshairs of developing the developers. In Ozaukee County, 60% of the land here is agricultural land,
mm-hmm.
And so the maintenance of proper conservation practices is very important on farms.
I'm going to give Secretary Nelson Stewart a chance to respond. Rod?
Well, again, a very insightful set of observations and questions, and I think the caller is right that use valuation has been tremendously important for Wisconsin farmers to remain competitive in a very, very tight market conditions. It wasn't many years ago that our property taxes on farmland were three times what our neighboring state of Minnesota's were, and you just can't be competitive in that sort of situation. We've remedied that, but as the caller indicates, that isn't the complete solution, and that is actually one of the primary reasons that we're working so hard to do the rest of the job with protecting working lands and farmland. And basically, what the committee that I discussed a minute ago said is we need to totally overhaul our farmland preservation program in Wisconsin and streamline it and modernize it. In 1979, when it was passed, it was a cutting-edge law in the country, and we had 8 million acres under exclusive ag zoning. That has eroded and deteriorated a lot, and the committee said, let's overhaul that and make it work. And is proposing ways to do that. But in addition to that, it said let's add a couple more voluntary tools, not mandates for local communities, but voluntary tools that they can use if they want them. And one of them was creation of what are called ag enterprise zones, so that if farmers in a neighborhood, say, can put 3,000 or 5,000 acres of number of farms together and would get some incentives to essentially rent their development easements, not develop that land for 15 or 20 years, you'd have a large enough block of land to be able to fend off some of this development pressure and the negative things that the caller is talking about. And thirdly, the committee said, let's let's use in a very targeted way purchase of easements or development rights for anchor properties that are under danger of being lost forever. And those are the big three recommendations that came out of that excellent broad-based group. And in doing that, they begin to address the conservation issues mentioned. But he's raising a very technical but also important question, and I would urge him to contact us at the Ag Department if he's interested in going into more detail on it. And I would also urge he and other listeners to look at the discussion that's ongoing today as we speak on the Farm Bill, because Representative Congressman Ron Kind from Western Wisconsin has introduced a Farm Bill with 70 co-sponsors that addresses some of the critical issues and support for conservation practices that were raised.
Thanks again for calling, Clyde. Appreciate it. I want to give Ron a chance to get on in Madison. Ron, your turn. Hi, Ron.
Thanks. I'd like to talk about consumer protection, especially as it relates to human food. Mm-hmm. I believe that food should be added as the first word in this department's name. I don't think the politicians are likely to do that soon. But I think ensuring adequate supplies of human food should be the number one priority for this agency within the state government. And that's relevant because the ethanol production from corn, the biodiesel production from virgin soybean oil or canola oil or any other agricultural product competes directly with humans. It puts the kindergarten and first grade kids at your local schools in competition with their parents' SUVs or the neighbors' SUVs if their parents, especially if their parents aren't rich enough to afford SUVs. So I think that needs to change, and I hope before the governor makes his announcement next week, you'll have a chance to talk to him and explain that food must be our number one priority. As far as land use and losing 30,000 acres a year, back in the 70s, I think the federal government really pushed the states and everybody to save prime farmland, meaning the areas with the best soils that were very gentle, you know, 1, 2, 3% slopes, that had great water-holding capacity so they could provide 5 or 6 inches of water to a corn or soybean plant, you know, during the July and August droughts. I still think that is the way to go, and that whatever reforms of the exclusive ag zoning and other state laws are made over the next years, we must look at the water, soil, and nutrient side of the farmland and preserve the best stuff to grow food on. And if you're going to, you know, there will be more residential and commercial development, but try to steer that onto the shallow soils, the sandy soils, the rocky slopes, so that it doesn't destroy our ability to feed ourselves in Wisconsin.
All right, thanks for calling. Secretary Nelson's doing?
Well, again, a good and interesting perspective there. I agree strongly with the importance of food safety, and I don't know whether the caller is aware or not, but our largest division here at DATCAP is our food safety division. And we have food inspectors working every day from the farm on through the grocery store, working to ensure that our food is not only safe but of the highest quality, because we sell most of the food that we produce in Wisconsin is sold into interstate markets. Over 90% of the milk and cheese that is produced in Wisconsin goes out of state. And so it has to be safe to have a market for it. The fundamental issue of a high energy consuming society poses lots of challenges that go well beyond the grain ethanol issue. And clearly, we have many things to do as an economy and as a society in the world with global warming and population explosion and growth to deal with that. I would, however, suggest that I don't think there's an equal sign between ethanol production and SUV gas mileage. I think it's very important that we give incentives to producing renewable fuel sources, at the same time that we do everything that we can to have not only our vehicles but our buildings, our homes and our commercial buildings built to save energy. I've been told by building experts that if buildings are built to the standards that they can be for energy conservation, now a large commercial building can save 40% of the energy that a typical one uses. That's a huge number. And all I'm saying is simply this, that we have to do a lot of things in this country and in this state to address the energy issue. And we've been letting, for too long, we've been ignoring the problem because we've been addicted to our cars and to petroleum and all that means.
Jim in Clear Lake will give you a chance now. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
This is very near and dear to my heart. I had a construction company for a number of years, and I sold it out to my partners in December so that I could go full-time into alternative energy starting this year. My exploration has led me to a couple of different conclusions. If you look at the fact that most of the European community, Germany specifically, signed the Kyoto Accord in 96 and started to make radical changes in the way they did things, and now they have 1,800 pumps where you can get biodiesel. And the way they're getting the feedstocks for that is they took the CRP ground, which is a similar process to what we have here. They continued to pay the farmer, but allowed him to grow a fuel-oriented crop, like a rapeseed or a switchgrass or something like that. The previous caller was talking about competing with the food chain. There's some truth in that. However, most people don't realize with biodiesel, after you produce it, you still have a byproduct that can be used as feed. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know is what is the governor doing about some absolute radical legislation that creates that, and where we are on taxing biodiesel? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Oh, thank you for calling, Jim.
Well, I, a good question and right on point. I think in answer to the last question, I think the governor is taking an incredible aggressive stance in moving forward on supporting renewable energies and with lots of budget demands. He is putting $30 million+ of new investment into creating new energy sources for Wisconsin that come from Wisconsin and can be utilized in Wisconsin, and that is not only ethanol plants, but it's the cellulosic ethanol. There's specific direction in that in his proposals to do just that and to diversify. And let me just give you two examples of why that's very important. But in doing that, I think your reference to Germany is very well taken. I traveled in Germany specifically a couple of years ago to look at what the German farms and agriculture were doing, and clearly they're far ahead of us on recognizing not only the need to be better in conservation and the environment, but the way to utilize the market and be innovative so that farmers and consumers can benefit. You can't drive very far in Germany without seeing wind power and wind turbines. And if you visit farms there, you'll see a lot of anaerobic digesters that turn manure into electric power. Wisconsin has about 13 of those anaerobic digesters in some of our larger farms now, which is more than any state. But we need to expand that considerably and do a lot of other things that the caller is indicating. And again, you're completely right to recognize that we can turn a lot of what is now unused or, in many cases, waste material, whether it's sawdust or wood pulp or remains or switchgrass, into energy. I chaired last year the Midwest Ag Secretaries, a group of the 12 Midwestern states Ag Secretaries, and this is the Farm Belt. And we had them in Madison for 5 days, and we focused just on this topic, on bio and energy development. And I just wanted to leave one word picture with you, and that is this. One of the best experts in the country said, and this is not a, it just gave us this word picture, not a literal picture, but if South Dakota was in the prairie, growing all the prairie grass that it did in the days of the buffalo, on a BTU basis, its productive capacity would make it the number four OPEC country in the world. It, now, that's not going to happen, or at least not overnight, but what it says is that, and this is why farmland and our forest land are important and why cellulosic and bioenergy can be very important to maintaining our forestry industry in the state, is we if we put the effort that the governor is suggesting into renewable fuels and into new discovery, and just don't talk about it and just don't research the esoterics of it, but work with our farmers and people like the caller who are putting their own energy in, we're going to do a lot of good things. And not only will it be good for our environment, but it'll be tremendously good for Wisconsin's economy, because this is bioenergy, biodevelopment is the next big chapter in economic history. And it's true not only in fuels, but in bioproducts from plastics, and we have a big plastic industry that are biodegradable. They can be produced now. Our clothes can be produced in ways that use biofabrics like cotton, but that don't wrinkle and that wick moisture. That's doable now. You can. We have a Wisconsin inventor that produces bricks out of the waste from pulping in the paper industry, and his bricks and decorative tile look just like the regular thing, except for one thing. They're stronger, lighter, and have high insulative value. And I think we're going to be seeing those on the market in a couple years. In fact, we gave a pilot grant to that inventor up in northeastern Wisconsin just this last summer. So I'm mentioning all those examples, Larry, because this is a area of rapid change, and if Wisconsin is smart about how we address that, it can be, as I said at the beginning of the program, one of the most transformative things that rural Wisconsin and our Wisconsin economy have seen in many, many years.
Well, Rod, it's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you, especially on this Agriculture Day. I appreciate it very much, and I hope you'll be back and visit with us again.
Well, it's always fun at this end, Larry. I greatly appreciate it, but I will sign off now. We have a Department of Ag board meeting going on right now, so they're giving me the high sign, so I better run for that.
All right. Thanks, Rod.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Rod Nelson-Stewen, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And as he noted, there's a lot going on in agriculture right now, including something called community-supported agriculture. And we'll learn about that next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.